Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Hi, how do you do?
We talked about Megyn Kelly on this show a few times when she went over to NBC News from Fox News, and then when she was relieved of her duties at NBC News because of the whole Halloween blackface thing. And well, they finally, after all of that time, it's been about 3 months, they finally announced, NBC, because they're a public company, they have to announce any major financial deals. They announced that they paid her $30 million to leave. And she got her full contract. Her contract was for $69 million, and she had, I guess, worked through $39 million of it. And she's like halfway through her contract. And she ended up getting the full $30 million that she was owed just to leave.
Right.
And they said they weren't really, NBC officials weren't really worried about that. You know, they make a lot of money over there. But what they worried about and what they finally got her to sign, she had to sign something saying she can no longer talk about her experience there or talk about the people she worked with. Because Megyn Kelly, while she was there at NBC, talked about a lot of things to people mm-hmm. that NBC wasn't happy about. I mean, she actually went on record saying Matt Lauer will never work again because I know things about Matt Lauer that you don't know. And they're all telling her, be quiet, shut up, be quiet.
Now, would that extend over into a book? Would she be able to put her NBC stories in a ostensible book?
No, I think she's got to shut up about that for the rest of her life. That's why they gave her the $30 million that was remaining on her contract to just go away. Here's $30 million that we owe you, but since we fired you, here, you collect this, but you have to sign this, what is it, disclosure, non-something. You have to decide.
It's a gag order is what it is.
Yeah, you sign something where you can no longer talk about the people here while you worked here or whatever the case may be, because she talks about everything. So she got her full $69 million contract, and she didn't even work for half of it, for half of that time. And so
I said at the time she was making a huge mistake.
By going from Fox to NBC?
Yes. Because I think as long as, I mean, I haven't watched Fox News since O'Reilly left. And that was a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah, her and O'Reilly.
To just put on TV for just, it was all one formula after another. O'Reilly would have on Dennis Miller. O'Reilly would have on the pundit who died, was in a wheelchair.
Oh, Charles Krauthammer.
Charles Krauthammer. He'd have on Liz Wheel. He'd have on whoever. And then Megyn Kelly's show would be the same thing. But it was entertaining.
But everybody thought they were grooming Megyn Kelly to replace Bill O'Reilly when he finally left. But she ended up taking off and going to NBC. Now, when this happened, there were a lot of people that said, what are you doing, NBC? You're taking this. She's a hard-edged newswoman, and you want to put her.
I don't know about that. Well, that's a stretch.
Well, it was a stretch to see if she could be fluffy for the 9 a.m. hour of the Today Show, because that just wasn't her. It wasn't up her alley. Plus,
I don't think it ever became up her alley.
No, because I don't think it ever was.
Right.
And Brewster, they didn't like her from day one, the people that worked there, because once they found out how much money she was making, she was the highest paid person. No one on the Today Show, no one at 30 Rock that was on air was making anything near to what she was making. And I'm talking about people like Al Roker, who had been there for 30 years.
Right.
They weren't making anywhere close to a $69 million total contract that Megyn Kelly was making. So once they found out what she was making, where she came from, they hated her from day one. And I'm talking about everybody in 30 Rock.
Well, and then here's an instance where she had the audacity sitting in her Megyn Kelly throne to even treat Tom Brokaw like this.
If you're running against the NRA in a lot of the Western congressional districts, for example, you're portrayed as a traitor to America. You know, you're not in favor of having people who have weapons, and that's, after all, how the country started. We're a long way away from that Second Amendment, which we said that a well-regulated militia is important to our country.
Thank you to our entire panel.
We have to step up.
We're up against a hard break. Apologies, Tom broke out. Sorry, they're wrapping me hard because we got a hard break coming up. But listen, this debate will not end now.
Yeah, you don't really do that to Tom Brokaw, who was like the Messiah. He's like now more like Moses at NBC.
She said everything except "Shut up, old man."
Pretty much.
Yeah, and so people did not like her there, and and again, I gave you the reasons why. I still follow her on Twitter, even though I'm very rarely on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But she said she by the end of 2019 she will be on television somewhere again. I don't see it. I can't see how anybody could hire her at this point.
She's going to be on that Al Gore channel with Dan Rather.
I don't know how anybody could hire her at this point. Especially with the blackface thing and the comment. And I've always liked her. I always liked her at Fox News. I never watched her on NBC because I'm working.
Right.
I'm working with you here.
I didn't like her at first, but she grew on me. I didn't like her in the afternoon when she was kind of like the main anchor at, what, 2 or 3 before Shepard Smith.
Before she went primetime?
Yeah. But she would, at the ends of segments, she would kibitz with the crew, who you didn't see, but you could sometimes hear laughing with her. And it became really entertaining.
Well, she signed a 3-year contract to go to NBC worth a total of $69 million for 3 years. She made it a year and a half, and they're paying her her other $30 million. Mm. Just to go away, and you're not allowed to talk. Non-disclosure, it's called. She had to sign one of those. You can't talk about what happened. Because she said she could tell us things about Matt Lauer that nobody knows.
Right.
Well, but now she can't, because she signed that to get the remainder of that contract of $30 million bucks.
Well, and it was one of Rupert Murdoch's, Lachlan Murdoch, who made the statement saying she's damaged goods and don't look for her back on Fox News. So wherever she lands, it's not going to be there. We know it won't be NBC. It won't be Fox News.
And I don't see her working again, although she says she will be on television again before the year is out, before 2019 is out. I mean, when you got that much money, why? But I guess she's got that much get up and go. That's why she makes so much money.
How about this? She goes to the Lifetime Network with R. Kelly. It's Megan and R, the Kelly twins. How about that? I love it.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Happy birthday, Drew Brees. He turns 40 today. Not only the greatest football player to ever play for the New Orleans Saints organization, he may be the most important human being that the city of New Orleans has ever seen. And I'm including Louis Armstrong. I'm including Ray Nagin.
I think you're
when Drew Brees,
turn your page over. I think you're reading upside down.
When Drew Brees got here right after Hurricane Katrina, the city was down. He was down. He was given up on by the then San Diego Chargers. He had a bad shoulder. He really wanted to play for the Miami Dolphins. That's who he wanted to play for. Only two teams worked him out. The Miami Dolphins with Nick Saban. The 1 year Nick Saban was there and failed after he left LSU to be the Miami Dolphins head coach.
I think it's pronounced Satan.
They worked out Nick Satan, or Nick Satan worked Drew Brees out. And he worked out Dante Culpepper.
Who?
And they ended up signing, luckily, thank God, for this city, for this region. Thank God Nick Saban and the Miami Dolphins picked Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. And to this day, Nick Saban still blames the Miami Dolphins organization, their medical staff. He says they didn't know what they were doing. And not only great that that happened for the city of New Orleans, but you wonder if Saban and the Miami Dolphins picked Drew Brees after that workout, if they would have won Super Bowls, and if Nick Saban never would have went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You wonder. But anyways, happy birthday to the most important human being the city of New Orleans has ever, ever hosted, has ever seen. And I would say Louis Armstrong's a close second. You know, Louis Armstrong is the most important native New Orleanian we've ever had. But when it comes to people that moved to town, the most important New Orleanian who moved here, it's got to be Drew Brees.
Did you even look at my audition tape?
I mean, the Saints, they were a laughing stock. They were the New England Patriots before Belichick got there. The New England Patriots were a laughing stock before Belichick got there. Before Drew Brees got here, the New Orleans Saints were a laughing stock. They were a laughing stock of an NFL franchise. And if Drew Brees never came here, who knows? To this day, they could still be a laughing stock. But because Drew Brees came here, and there's no doubt about it, much like the Brady Belichick doesn't go anywhere without Tom Brady. Sean Payton goes nowhere without Drew Brees.
Well, let's...
Drew Brees and Tom Brady are the most important in their duo relationships with their coaches.
Well, let's be clear, and this is all, of course, speculation. If not for Drew Brees, you mentioned that this team would still be a laughing stock. They might well be a laughing stock in Los Angeles. This team may not be here if not for Drew Brees.
Well, if it wasn't for the NFL, Tom Benson would have moved this team to San Antonio. The NFL stopped Tom Benson from moving this team to San Antonio. Let's face the facts. Benson died last year. He's a hero now. He's got the statue outside the Superdome. His wife now owns everything. But if the NFL said, no, Tom, we're not letting you do that, Tom Benson would have moved this team to San Antonio after Hurricane Katrina. There's no doubt about it. Drew Brees is the most important person in the history of the city of New Orleans. And I would say Louis Armstrong is second. Again, if you're gonna talk about natives, Louis Armstrong, native New Orleanian, the most important person ever born here. Drew Brees is the most important person who ever moved to the city. And I would say Drew Brees is neck and neck with Andrew Jackson. It's the most important people that ever came to New Orleans. Jackson didn't stay that long, but he won a pretty big battle in Chalmette in 1812. Drew Brees is right next to Andrew Jackson when it comes to the most important people that ever showed up in this city. And you know what's interesting? He had his 40th birthday party two nights ago, Sunday night after the playoff win over the Philadelphia Eagles, which got the Saints to host the NFC Championship game 5 days from now for the second time in the history of the franchise. And, of course, Drew Brees was the quarterback the first time they played for the NFC Championship in New Orleans. Does he have that party if they lose on Sunday? Now, he said his wife gets all the credit for setting up that party at the place that his former teammate and current radio play-by-play announcer Zach Streif co-owns on Chapultepec Street. It's called Port Orleans Brewery. If they lose on Sunday, I mean, have you seen the pictures and have you seen what from the party on Sunday night?
I saw a little bit of the video.
Videos and pictures. That was some party. There's no way they can have that party if they lose on Sunday. There's no way he can have that party on Sunday night if they lose. I guarantee you that party was set up. Saying, look, if we win, this is where we have the party. But if we lose, maybe I'll just have a quiet party for 40th birthday on Tuesday night on my 40th birthday. There's no way they could lose to Philadelphia, and they were extremely close to losing that game on Sunday at the end. And then him going and having a birthday party with his teammates and Trombone Shorty, and the Choppa Dude was there. There's no way you could have that party with the pictures and all of the good times that they had on Sunday night if they lost. That's just my opinion. So happy birthday to the man that, again, in my opinion, means as much or more. It was more important to this city than anybody outside of Andrew Jackson and Louis Armstrong. I'll put that's my holy trinity for the city of New Orleans. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm going through the list here of Wikipedia, and it's no one at this hour really wants to hear a big list read, but there's some other names you could make that are in the conversation. And like I said, I don't want to read them all right
no,
now.
No, I'm thinking those are the three. Three most important guys in the history of this city.
Well, I think it's. I think what you should do is split the infinitive there, as it were, and not make them. I think you should go natives versus those who have come here, because it's not really the same thing to compare the impact of a Louis Armstrong with Drew Brees. So I would say let's try to think of those who have come here.
Louis Armstrong is the most important person who was ever born in this city. And Andrew Jackson and Drew Brees are the most important people that ever showed up here one day. I'm in New Orleans. Here I am. I'd never been here before. Hello.
I don't want to go through the. I don't want to read names off the list.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's completely subjective. I mean, there are no right answers. But there are others who you could put in that conversation with those who have come here and made their own personal impact. Emeril Lagasse comes to mind. Not from here, but certainly had an impact on the food culture.
Important, but I wouldn't say he was more important to New Orleans. I would not say Emeril Lagasse is more important to New Orleans than Drew Brees.
I would put them right. I'd put them very close together.
Yeah, as long as Emeril's behind him. Yeah. I'll put him behind him. But
that's fine.
I mean, do you see the way people dance in the streets when the New Orleans Saints win a football game? You know, people don't dance in the streets when Emeril Lagasse makes a great dinner.
Again, I mean, it's apples and wing nuts that you're trying to compare. No one dances in the streets when a chef does something. Any chef, in any city. Come on, you're being silly now. But that's fine. I mean, that's great. It's wonderful. But that's a good question. Would they have had that party on Sunday night?
There's no way.
And what would it have looked like? I think it would have been a lot less public. It would have been more of a private affair.
He couldn't have a party that night after losing such an important football game at home. There's no way he could have gone over there and had a party and taken pictures with celebrities and, hey, I'm 40.
Right.
People would have been like, huh? You just lost a playoff game that you were heavily, heavily favored to win.
Right.
Did you hear what the mayor of Atlanta said? And yesterday on the show, you know, I said, sure, Atlanta's got the Super Bowl. But New Orleans has the NFC Championship game. A little bit different. At least our team is playing in the NFC Championship game. Maybe Matt Ryan has a good seat in the stands. Julio Jones maybe has a maybe they put him in a box or something up there.
This is from a fellow by the name on his Twitter account. This is Terrell Thomas, or maybe it's Terrell. I apologize if it's wrong. But he had a chance to speak with the mayor of Atlanta. Her name is Keisha Bottoms.
Bottoms up!
And asked her about the possibility of the Saints in the Super Bowl in Hotlanta.
You know, being out here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, if you had two teams to pick, are there any two teams you would like to see come down here and their fans come travel to Atlanta?
Anybody other than the Saints. I know there's going to be a bounty on my head for saying that, but if it can't be the Falcons, then hey, as long as it's not the Saints, then I'm happy.
There's Mayor Bottoms of Atlanta. She wants anybody but the Saints to be in the Super Bowl. She said the right thing. I mean, when that's your arch nemesis, your biggest rival, she said the right thing.
I think she's going to become the butt of a lot of jokes around here, though. Mayor Bottoms.
As long as it's not the Saints, then I'm happy.
Mayor Bottoms. What an asinine thing to say. All right, we have a lot to get to on the show. Coming up next, I have got a great story, a story of hope. Stay tuned for that next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You see what's going on in Los Angeles, in California? 30,000 teachers are on strike. They're demanding more money. You see that? They say due to school underfunding, the teachers are expected to pay for school supplies like pencils, poster boards, and condoms. Crazy what's going on out there. All right, coming up next, I've got a story of hope. And this story, I love stories that have happy endings, and we've got one. Good news is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So I saw a story yesterday, and I got sad. And, you know, when you watch the news, the majority of it is bad news. And we've talked about this before on the show. It's because that's what sells. Good news doesn't sell.
If it bleeds, it leads.
And, Brewster, I've noticed that with some of my Facebook friends. There are some people, they just post the most negative, saddest. So if there's a rape, if there's a murder, if there's an abduction, if there's some, these people just continue to post. It's usually older women in my Facebook friends. Just one sad, negative story after another. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what you post? What's going on inside your mind? If this is what you decide to post on your Facebook page, you know, you could post anything you want. But with some of my Facebook friends, especially women, older women, if it's not death, rape, abduction, if it's not that, children missing, that's all they post. Wonder why some of them are single. Anyways, I saw this story yesterday, Brewster. You might have seen it too.
I think this is a song of hope.
Yesterday, this wasn't a story of hope, but today, this is a story of hope.
For the love of God, would you get to it?
It's an 8-year-old service dog who happens to be blind, named Strudel. Now, when I first saw this story, I said, a blind service dog? That must be a misprint. This must be a service dog for blind people. No. This 8-year-old dog named Strudel is a blind service dog. So they give this blind dog to people that need service dogs. And he's still able to do it, Strudel, even though he's blind. Well, he was in a catering van over the weekend. And someone...
He's in a what?
A catering van. He just happened to be in there while someone who was working ran in somewhere to deliver something. When the person came back, the catering van was stolen. And Strudel was inside the catering van that got stolen. Again, Strudel, the 8-year-old blind service dog.
Are you getting to the hope part?
Yes, I am. Strudel had been missing since Saturday night, when the 2019 gray Honda Odyssey catering van he was in was stolen.
Sweet, right?
Well, breaking news, because that happened Saturday night, and on Sunday I saw the story, on Monday I saw the story, and I was sad. Woke up this morning.
Yeah, I noticed yesterday you weren't quite yourself. I didn't want to say anything.
Breaking news, Strudel, the blind service dog, has been found after disappearing for 2 days when his van was stolen. Breaking news. Pass me that tissue over there, Brewster. This is a New Orleans story of hope. The owner of Strudel, the 8-year-old blind service dog, said that he was found last night. I mean, the story went, the New Orleans man is pleading for help finding his missing 8-year-old blind service dog, Strudel, after someone drove off with the van and Strudel was inside the van.
Here, catch your Kleenex.
And the dog's owner, Brewster, is a type 1 diabetic.
Oh, and the story gets better and better.
Well, that's who the Strudel is the service dog for.
I don't understand the catering van part. Who, why is the dog in the
because his
the
owner,
the person for whom the dog is performing the service, has a catering business?
Yes.
Okay. Now I understand. I thought maybe the dog just wandered
into
this van. Okay.
No.
Start over, just so I'm clear.
The owner of the dog and the van, his name is Tucker Fitzhugh. He's a type 1 diabetic. That's the serious type.
Well, it's all serious.
Yeah.
They're all serious.
Yeah, we're familiar with the type 2 over here, but thank God we don't have type 1 yet. So, to help with his type 1 diabetes, he got a service dog. And this service dog is more special than any other service dog because he's blind. You imagine that? He makes the other service dogs who can see pale in comparison. Because Strudel can say, look, yeah, we're all service dogs, but you're not blind. I am. And who am I giving service to? Who am I servicing? A type 1 diabetic. None of this type 2 crap.
So all these dogs can talk? Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking like the dog. Oh. Brewster, the Lower Ninth Ward, that's the neighborhood where Strudel was seen last.
You just keep thinking, Butch. That's what you're good at.
That's where someone then called his owner, Tucker Fitzhugh, and said, "We saw Strudel. It's not too many. You don't see too many blind service dogs running around the streets. It's a miracle." And with the help of a friend, and then they put some flyers out. They pled with some neighbors. The type 1 diabetic owner, along with a couple of residents of the Ninth Ward, they searched until dark, hoping to find the 8-year-old blind and deaf schnauzer.
Mr. Ferguson.
Imagine being a service dog and you're mostly blind and deaf. This is the Helen Keller of service dogs. And they finally brought Strudel home. Quote, she's so sweet. There's no way in the world anyone could not love her or hurt her. Oh, God. Unquote. Said Strudel's owner, type 1 diabetic Tucker Fitzhugh. Booster, it's stories like this. This is the reason I got into radio. You know, most people, they just spread, like I said, the bad news, the horror stories. Watch the news. Go to any news website. Look at the first 3 or 4 stories. Negative, 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 negative. And then you see a story like this. And this is the reason. It's stories like this, Brewster, why I get up in the morning and come to work.
Well, and most days.
I was going to say, luckily, I don't need a blind, deaf, and dumb service dog. Yeah, the owner, Tucker Fitzhugh, said that he was catering an event on Camp Street when he left his van running with Strudel inside. He came out of the event. Someone stole his brand new van. But what was even worse than that was his deaf, dumb, blind service dog, not named Tommy, named Strudel, was in the van And so they stole the van. They ended up in the ninth ward, the lower ninth ward. That's when the woman saw something that she thought was a deaf, dumb, blind service dog. That's what she called the owner.
You know, if the dog is deaf, it doesn't really matter what his name is. It could be Tommy.
Hmm.
He really doesn't answer to anything.
And they should have named it Helen. It's a female, the Schnauzer. Quote, she doesn't know who she's with. Well, of course she doesn't. That's what's so lovable about her. She'll just be loving to everybody because she's, you know, deaf, dumb, and blind. And this is what he said on Saturday night when the van got stolen. This is what I read about in the Sunday paper that had me so sad. If someone's brazen enough to jump into a car that's on, God, what will they do to my animal? According to Tucker Fitzhugh. You know what horrible little thing they would be capable of? I don't. Yeah, I mean, he's right. They steal the brand new 2019 van. What are they going to do to an 8-year-old deaf, dumb, and blind dog who's inside there? And by the way, a service dog who's servicing the type 1 diabetic, even though the dog is probably in need of service. That's what's so great about this dog, Strudel. I'm getting emotional over here. And so Strudel and his owner are back together. They're going to celebrate. We're going to have something, hopefully not too sweet. The owner's a type 1 diabetic. And the owner said that this dog Strudel, is dependent on me, 100% dependent on me, even though I got her as a service dog to help me with my type 1 diabetes. You know, we service each other now. I'm a service diabetic, and I have a service dog with me who happens to be deaf, dumb, and blind. I just think this is one of the greatest stories, Brewster, in my radio career that I've ever talked about. And I'm going to print this out, and I'm going to save it. The day comes I leave radio or retire, this is going to be what I go out on.
I will. I'll go to the dollar store today and get you a frame, and you can put it up here in the studio.
So whoever says all of the news is negative, well, you're right, but not all of it. And if you find it in the right places, listen to this show. It's a great Tuesday morning in the city of New Orleans. Not only are the Saints one home game away from going to the Super Bowl, we have an 8-year-old deaf, dumb, and blind service dog, Strudel, who was just reunited with his type 1 diabetic owner. And now they're there for each other. They can service each other. They're there for each other. All right. Coming up on the show, Donald Trump was in town yesterday. And then last night when he got back to the White House, he met the Clemson National Championship football team. It's what he served them that everybody's talking about. Stay tuned for that report. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Well, if you would like a chance to be in the Superdome this Sunday, where hopefully the black and gold will become NFC champions,
yes.
Register now at our website, bayou957.com. Check out the rock box real quick. Good luck. You need to do that quickly, though, because that's going to go away tonight. At 11:59:59, exactly 1 second before midnight.
Yeah, do it before midnight.
Yep, good luck.
Bayou957.com. So yesterday, Donald Trump, the president, was here in New Orleans. He was a little confused when he got up yesterday morning. He tweeted that he's going to speak at the Farmers Convention, which it was. But he said, I'll see you soon, Nashville. But look, he's busy.
He's the president.
He's the president of the United States. And someone said, no, dude, the Farmers Convention is in New Orleans.
Mm.
Okay. So he showed up here yesterday, and he gave a speech. And there were some protesters out in the street. Did you notice that? Of course there's going to be some protesters. President comes to town. Well, wait a minute. His predecessor came to town a couple of times, and I don't remember one protester. When Barack Obama, when Barry came to town. Well, he could do no wrong, right? You start thinking about it. What the hell did he do in 8 years? But anyways, back to Trump. He spoke at the Montreal Convention Center. He spoke to the farmers where he was. There was a big warm welcome for him there. And then he drove back out to Kenner, got on Air Force One, and flew back to Washington, D.C., where he hosted college football's national champions last night. He hosted the Clemson Tigers. I wonder where Nick Saban ate dinner last night. I know where Nick Saban didn't eat dinner last night, the White House. And did you see what Nick Saban missed? Because of the partial government shutdown, they don't have the normal kitchen staff on hand in the White House. So Donald Trump paid for, out of his own pocket, Wendy's, McDonald's, and Domino's Pizza. You know, people are making fun of him and laughing. Do you remember being in college? You find me one college football player that doesn't love Wendy's, McDonald's, and Pizza Hut. Find me one.
Are they allowed to eat that, though?
Well, the season's over now.
Mm-hmm.
They are allowed to eat it now. And he bought a bunch of French fries, too. And I know people were laughing at Trump. Look at this. I'm glad Clemson showed up, because pretty much anybody he's invited to the White House doesn't show up.
If he had bought them caviar, that would have been wrong, too. Everything he does is wrong.
Of course. Of course. We know that by now. He can't win when it comes to the media. But I'm glad Dabo Swinney, the coach, and Clemson said, yeah, we'll go. And so they chowed down on fast food last night. Good stuff. Coming up next, we look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 15th. How about that? We're already halfway through January.
Can you believe? I mean, that's insane.
I'm convinced, Brewster. I'm convinced the older we get, the faster time goes. I really am. I don't remember time flying like this when I was young.
No.
I really don't.
No. I agree with you. It's a rarity, but I agree with you.
Soon I'm going to say, Brewster, 2019 is almost over.
Don't say it yet.
Well, it was today, 10 years ago. Sully Sullenberger performs the Miracle on the Hudson.
Get out of here. That was not 10 years ago.
2009.
Why Today
I remember I was
Doesn't
with you.
Suck.
And we were working, and I remember watching a television, and I looked over my shoulder. I said, Is that airplane laying in the Hudson River right now? And all the people standing on the wing? And we all know he was leaving LaGuardia Airport in New York City to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. As soon as he took off, as he was going up, birds went in both engines.
I remember that because you said that, and then I said, "You know, we're on the air."
Yeah, and then he couldn't make it back to LaGuardia. He couldn't make it over to New Jersey, to Teterboro. There, and there was nowhere he could go. He said, "I know where I am. I'm going to land this on the Hudson River."
Now, was it Tom Hanks that played him in a movie, which I did not see?
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Hanks, his goal is to play every American hero.
Just if he hasn't played you in a biopic yet, just sit tight, he will. Did you see that movie? I didn't.
I did not see that one. But we all remember what happened here, and I mean it was incredible. And then when he landed it on the Hudson River, all the passengers got out onto the left wing. And then right there in the Hudson River, you know, you're right near Manhattan, and they just came right over with the boats. Sully was the last person off of that plane. He walked up and down the aisle as it was sinking, and he just made sure there was nobody, you know, stuck in their seats or anything like that.
I think he served pretzels. They had a few left over.
What a story. January 15th. It was, we got a birthday today. Happy birthday to Martin Luther King Jr. He was born today in 1929.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
So today would have been a big one for him, but he never would have made it. He would have been 90 today. What? Martin Luther King Jr., born in Atlanta, Georgia, son of a Baptist minister. And his birth name was not Martin Luther King Jr. It was Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Michael King, but his father was so blown away by, you know,
old Martin Luther. There you go.
See, I'm celebrating this, and you're not. Today, January 15th, is National Hat Day. I'm wearing a hat. You've got a new haircut over there.
I did.
That you're showing off. Looks very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and you have less hair, so that means less twirling of your hair during the show, which I find very distracting.
But I got to write that down. Hang on. January 15th,
National
Bruce
Hat Day.
Complimented me.
Oh,
hang
no.
on. Brewster complimented me. I got to write that down. I never hear that.
I will figure out a way to expunge that from the record. That will not appear on the podcast. Today, January 15th, this is quite odd. Sometimes you find these national days, and just because of the proximity to, oh, I don't know, winter. Today is National Strawberry Ice Cream Day. You know, I was thinking more maybe like a nice vegetable beef soup or maybe some stew. Maybe a pot of chili, but no, it's National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
Do you think...
Why?
Now, vanilla, believe it or not, vanilla is still the most popular flavor of ice cream in America. Some people think it's chocolate, but do you think...
But you're missing the point.
Why
would ice cream have a day in January?
I get that.
We're going to find out here shortly.
But do you think an ice cream will ever surpass those three? Because you always hear vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. Do you think there's a flavor that could ever surpass and get into the top three?
Yes, I do.
What do you got?
Tutti Frutti.
Not bad.
January 15th, it was on this date in this year, 1982.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Police, the Popo 5-0, they kicked off their North American leg of their tour in support of Ghost in the Machine at the Boston Garden. You know who was the opening? Who might have been the opening act of this? January 15th, 1982, National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
Beginning of January 1982. Who opened for the Police at the old Boston Garden?
Yes,
I couldn't tell.
There were, I think, five of them, maybe six of them. Big band.
I don't know.
Big girl group.
Not the Go-Go's.
The Go-Go's.
Wow.
Were the opening act. Were there five Go-Go's or six?
Five.
Five. It was on this date, January 15th, 1967.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Rolling Stones appear on the Ed Sullivan Show on CBS and change the lyrics of Let's Spend the Night Together to Let's Spend Some Time Together, as Mr. Sullivan was not down with the innuendo, the double entendre.
And if you ever look at the video of that, you could tell Mick Jagger's face when he says it. He's not happy about it.
Right.
He rolls his eyes. And then when the Doors played, they asked Morrison to do the same thing with Light My Fire. Jim said, okay. And then when he got out there, he said, no, I'm going to say higher.
And that was their final appearance on the show, I do believe. Happy heavenly birthday today to born on this date in 1948.
Why today doesn't suck.
One of the guys gone way too soon, Ronnie Van Zant, lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. One can only imagine what more he might have done. But honestly, he did enough. You know, he did Freebird, and what more do you need from Ronnie Van Zant after that? So,
and I never knew Ronnie Van Zant, the singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd, shared a birthday with Martin Luther King Jr.
And on this date, January 15, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
This guy famous for a couple of things. The long blonde, blow-dried with a blow dryer. Buster Brown haircut.
Fabio.
No. Buster Brown, that means bangs.
Oh, okay.
I can think of three rock stars that really rocked the bangs. J.Y. Young of Styx. Tommy Shaw of Styx would have the bangs. And sadly, passing away on this date, January 15th, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
I think I said that. But a guy who you don't really think of because he was never in the forefront of the band, but player of some of the great bass lines of all time, Dee Murray died on this date from the Elton John Band in Nashville after suffering a stroke at just 45 years old.
Wow.
But you go back and listen to some of the tracks on Caribou or Goodbye Yellow Brick Road or even earlier than that, and just the perfect bass lines, just what the song called for.
Yeah, back in the 70s, Elton John had a great band.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's interesting. You said the rockers who have bangs or had bangs.
You got another one?
I got one. I can't think of anyone else. Bruce Dickinson, the singer from Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Mr. Bangs.
Yes. There you go. Your four big, your Mount Rushmore of rock stars with bangs on the Osterlin Show.
January 15th. It was today in 1967.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Green Bay Packers beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the very first Super Bowl. This is a new thing. The Super Bowl. We used to have the NFL championship game before that. Now we have a Super Bowl.
That's right.
And it was played at the Los Angeles Coliseum. It was about half empty. And now you look at where the Super Bowl has gone, and that's 52 years ago.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Time flies. Did you have any other?
I got one more.
No, do you have any other pithy comments like, yeah?
It was today. This surprised me, looking back at this. It was today in 1983.
Why today doesn't suck.
Phil Collins had his first solo hit in England, United Kingdom.
The song he recorded in the Stu studio, that would be Stu Studio.
No, it wasn't. And remember, he had hits with Genesis, but his first number one single was a cover song.
With the Motown guy.
Yes.
Tell me, I can't.
The old Supreme song.
Yes.
You Can't Hurry Love.
No, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, You Can't Hurry Love. That was Phil Collins' first number one hit in England. I mean, he went on to write several songs that were huge that he wrote. I had no idea his first number one hit over there in the UK was You Can't Hurry Love. That was a hit for the Supremes in 1966.
You said cover song. I was thinking Easy Lover with Philip Bailey.
Philip Bailey. She's an easy lover.
Isn't that a cover song?
I think that was an original with those two guys.
Hmm.
And whatever that, God's name happened to Phil Bailey. Remember him?
We're going to research that. Have an answer tomorrow.
Well, and finally, I got one left. Today in 1982, a guy
Why today doesn't suck.
A guy named Harry Wayne Casey almost got killed in a car accident. Serious head-on car crash near Miami, Florida, and he almost died. He was temporarily paralyzed. Harry Wayne Casey, do you recognize the name?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yes, he was the leader of Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I said that.
Glad he recovered from that scary car crash.
And that is a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up, the company Gillette is taking some heat this morning because they just released a commercial that attacked masculinity. They said masculinity is toxic and we shouldn't have such toxic masculinity in this country. Gillette. They sell razors to men.
Really? That's what Gillette does?
And they're attacking masculinity.
A division of Procter & Gamble.
We're going to tell you about that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. Bayou! New Orleans only classic rock. Hey, something we missed during Why Today Doesn't Suck. So I guess that would make this bonus suck.
Suck.
Bonus.
Suck.
Bonus. Suck. Bonus. Suck. 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 It was today in 2001, Wikipedia made its debut. I'm not 100% sure about that because I read it on Wikipedia.
Right.
But
and you know, anybody can go in and change anything.
Yeah.
On Wikipedia.
Yeah, it was something. But
have you ever donated? Because every few months they'll put up their a banner, and they'll say, you know, could you please help us out? I've never been moved to donate to Wikipedia.
Not yet, I haven't. Much like I watch public television, and they beg in my living room whenever I have it on. They're literally begging for money in between the documentaries or whatever I'm watching. They're begging for money.
But those tote bags, I hear good things.
Yeah, well, maybe, who knows? Maybe if I can get a little more money out of Bayou here, maybe I'll donate to Wikipedia. And PBS, we'll see what happens. And I wanted to say one other thing as well.
We'll say it.
Did you see what happened the other day at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport?
The busiest airport in the world? No,
yes.
I did not.
A passenger boarded a Delta plane and flew all the way from Atlanta to Tokyo, Japan with a gun. He got a gun on the plane.
Great.
But to the TSA's credit,
mm-hmm.
they did pull an oversized bottle of shampoo out of the guy's bag.
Right. So, Thank God for that.
Yeah, I know. And some people are trying to blame the partial government shutdown for that. They're saying, no, it had nothing to do with that. That was just a mistake by TSA. We don't know anymore. We don't know if the gun was loaded. We don't know exactly what type of gun it was, but that's what we know right now. All right. Coming up next, the company Gillette is taking some heat this morning because they just released a commercial where they say toxic masculinity is no good. They say men, we have to, we can't be as masculine as we've been in the past. And they're taking some heat for that. Stay tuned. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So the company Gillette, a good quality company, makes quality products, razors and such. Gillette is taking some heat this morning because they just released a commercial that addresses toxic masculinity. And they're saying toxic masculinity is no good. Now, this on the heels of the American Psychological Association, or the APA,
Ding.
Announcing that traditional masculinity is harmful to society and can lead to homophobia and sexual harassment. Now, what do you think of that if you're listening right now? They're basically saying masculinity as we know it needs to go away.
So everybody knows Gillette as, for most of its existence, as a standalone company founded in 1901 by King Gillette. That was his name. In Boston, and it has since in 2007 been absorbed or purchased, I guess, by Procter & Gamble. It uses the famous tagline, the best a man can get, and they actually, if I'm not mistaken, they actually make reference to that in what, you ready for the, no, we're not ready for it.
The
go ahead and give me a little more.
The best a man
no,
can
No, I didn't
get.
Ask for you to sing. No. There's never a pause that can be best filled by you singing. I'm looking for the
But what do you think of that? If you're listening right now, you've got the American Psychological Association who says that traditional masculinity is harmful to our society and can lead to homophobia and sexual harassment. Now remember, and now Gillette, we're gonna play this for you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But think about our country, think about how it was formed, think about the Wild West. I mean, all of this masculinity. You could even look at movies. Go back and look at when movies, the golden age of movies. I mean, masculinity.
Whose name you're getting ready to invoke. Go ahead.
But masculinity,
go ahead.
That's what people wanted to see.
Go ahead. Use Spencer Tracy to make your argument.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say Spencer Tracy. But I was going to say, how about Gary Cooper?
Sure.
How about Robert Mitchum?
Sure.
I could give you some names from guys that were in movies back in the 40s and the 50s. The only reason they were there is because they had toxic masculinity, but they didn't call it toxic back then.
Right.
So how did we get from that point where masculinity was something else? I mean, Jesus, look at the mafia movies. Look at everything. I mean,
well, you look 10 years ago to the beginning of Mad Men, and that brought back narrow lapels and thin ties and gentlemen drinking old fashions. No one had had an old fashioned in 30 years prior to that.
Don Draper was extremely masculine.
I mean, you could make the argument that Don Draper was nailing everything that moved.
Yeah, that was masculinity right there.
Well, but the argument could be made that he was not necessarily, it was degrading to his wife for him to be unfaithful and to be the carouser that he was.
On this show, Brewster, we talk about all the time how things are changing, how we can't say things that we used to say, how things are changing. This is a huge change. And do you agree with the American Psychological Association that traditional masculinity is harmful to society and can lead to homophobia and sexual harassment? Because, you know, you got to be so masculine, you got to make fun of those people over there, or you got to do sex with as many of these women over here as possibly can.
Well, I mean, it's painting things with an awfully broad brush. It's taking an entire, it's taking a small sample and saying, okay, everyone in this, extrapolating that small sample across this group, and everyone is like that. You ready for the audio? Let's try this.
All right.
Feel more masculine just hearing this?
I was going to say, this sounds sharp, really masculine.
Da, 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 da. To be sharp, I don't know the rest of the words. All right, we'll try this. Play the actual commercial here. Please stand by. Actual commercial coming in 3, 2, I'll just play it.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off, making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed. We believe in the best in men. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
That's...
And what were they showing in the beginning of that commercial?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not, this is, our service has just the audio, so I don't see the visuals or have it yet.
When they say, is this the best that we can be?
Let's hear it again. You hear what I'm going to guess, and again, I'm just listening to this. I'm not looking at YouTube or anything. I haven't seen it. But you hear mentioned in there what I'm guessing is supposed to be like a news clip where you hear, sexual harassment or let's hear it again.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off, making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed. We believe in the best in men, because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
I wonder if Donald Trump being president after what he said about, you know, grab women by the bleep. And I wonder, I mean, that's under this umbrella. But by the way, Gillette is taking a lot of heat for this. They're saying, what do you want? All the men to become feminine? Do you want? And I don't think that's what they're saying.
But you're kind of that's painting the other side of the canvas with too broad a brush. The question I have, it boils down to two choices. If you don't use Gillette products, would this assuage you to do so? I'll have to look up that word. Would it provoke you to then switch from whatever products you use to Gillette? Or if you use Gillette, would this make you stop? That is the dice that Gillette is rolling.
And does
I have a problem with the implied message of social injustice to sell anything. You know, if Gillette wants to do this under the auspices of the Gillette Foundation or donating to whatever, but a company going from to look sharp to be sharp and going back way, way, way back, or how you fix for blades. And now the message is, in 2019, we have to do better. Young men can do better. Well, sure they can, but I think it's problematic to have social injustice used as a Madison Avenue trick to sell razor blades.
And I think you can be masculine without being harmful to women. And you know, again, this is coming days after the American Psychological Association said that traditional masculinity is harmful to our society and it leads to homophobia and sexual harassment. Now, do you believe that we can live in a country where we have traditional masculinity that doesn't go around grabbing women and doesn't go around making fun of homosexuals?
Of course, because everybody is different, and bad behavior is always going to be around. It's almost and I hate to beat this horse to death, but it almost fits into that template of 2008. The inauguration, 2009, the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama, when he said, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." To me, this is the progression going down. This is another rung in that ladder, in that platform.
So we are the ones that will say that traditional masculinity is harmful to our society.
Exactly.
Interesting. Do you agree with that if you're listening right now? Do you agree with the American Psychological Association that traditional masculinity is harmful to our society? Why can't our society be traditionally masculine without grabbing women and without making fun of homosexuals? Or is that...
Because many men would consider themselves traditionally masculine and not do either of those things.
See, I agree with that.
See, I feel bad because I didn't shave today.
Send us
a tweet. Tell us what you think. At Bayou957.
And maybe I'll put this commercial up on the Bayou Facebook page and let us know what you think about this. Do you agree that traditional masculinity is harmful to our society? I mean, that's a big statement. Because they're just saying that every traditionally masculine American male then is running around grabbing women by the privates and making fun of homosexuals.
Again, the word every and...
Well...
No, they're not saying every, but...
They're saying traditional masculinity is harmful to our society.
What are your thoughts about it to sell razor blades, though? That's what I find a problem. Again, the question is, and tweet us that, too. If you use Gillette, will you stop... If you don't use Gillette, are you moved to start using Gillette products? To me, that's the question.
All right, coming up next on the show, I don't know if there are too many good ways to die, but I'm going to tell you about what could be the worst way to die. I mean, it's up there. It's subjective. Because it just happened to somebody in New Orleans.
All right.
That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Happy birthday to Drew Brees. Again, Drew Brees turns 40 today.
And Balin.
What's that?
And little Balin. Balin Brees. Also
yes, he's one
birthday.
Of his kids. And I said that Drew Brees, along with Andrew Jackson and Louis Armstrong, are the three most important people in the history of the city of New Orleans. Am I wrong? Happy 40th, Drew. And coming up next... we're going to read some of your tweets, and you can tweet us about how toxic masculinity, some say, needs to go away. The company Gillette, they just released a commercial that's bashing masculinity. And if you want to tweet us at Bayou957, and we will read your tweets. Do you agree with that? Some people aren't, and we will tell you all about it coming up next on the show on Bayou95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Just a reminder, if you want a pair of free tickets for this Sunday's huge, massive game in the Superdome, we're giving them away. Just go to our website, Bayou957.com. You'll find tickets there in the rock box. And, hey, it only takes a couple of seconds, and it didn't cost nothing. Good luck. And do that before midnight tonight. We were talking about how Gillette, the company, is taking some heat this morning because they just released a new commercial. And the commercial comes on the heels of the American Psychological Association saying that toxic masculinity is a bad thing for our country, and we need to get rid of toxic masculinity. And what's fascinating, I mean, look, you could still have masculinity. They just don't want toxic masculinity.
Right. A concept which didn't exist apparently last week or 2 weeks ago. Maybe, well, at least it didn't have a name. We'll put it that way.
Hmm.
So Gillette is running this ad.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off, making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed. We believe in the best in men. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
And I made the point that it's a noble message. I don't think it's attacking all men. I don't think it's saying all men who are trying to be masculine are offensive and toxic. I think it's just it's trying to touch a nerve. It's trying to strike a chord. And I pose the question. It comes down to two things. If you use Gillette products, will you stop? Because you're offended by this social kind of engineering or social injustice behind the message? Or if you don't use Gillette, will you start? Now, we've already been taken to task on Twitter, and you can tell us your opinion at Bayou957. And at _theBroface says, I can't believe you guys are falling for such obvious outrage marketing. You spent a half hour talking about Gillette for free. I responded, no way to tell the story without mentioning the company. Not falling for anything other than covering a hot story. And oh, by the way, I shave with a shard of broken glass. That's a true story.
Yeah, and
shave today and I feel toxic.
A lot of the reaction I've seen to this on social media is not positive. There are many people saying, well, geez, Gillette, you don't want masculinity? Then I'm going to stop using your stuff.
And I think that's the question. When a company puts itself out there and blends the line between social injustice, as I would assume that this could be called, with Madison Avenue sizzle to sell razor blades, I find it problematic.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this has to do, Brewster, with our president, our current president, and the fact that he is hated so much by a bunch of people. You know, go back to when he was running for president, when he was on that bus with that guy, and he said, "Oh, I
Billy
grab
Bush,
women by the
right.
bleep," and what the American Psychological Association, along with Gillette, what they're saying is we need to get rid of toxic masculinity in this country because it's hurting the country. And look, we all know that you can be masculine and not be toxic. I mean, not every masculine man is running around grabbing women by the privates and making fun of homosexuals.
At Wells 5862 says, yes, we can be traditional males without mistreating women. At AJ Lytell says, traditional masculinity created the protection and security that allows non-masculine people to feel safe enough to express themselves without fear of reprisal. It empowered them to achieve. Irony, I stopped using Gillette years ago, too costly.
Well, that's why I brought up when we talked about this earlier, how this country started. We became the America because masculine men stepped up. You look at, now I don't know if they were toxic, and you look at the history of our country when it comes to movies, motion pictures, and I brought up Gary Cooper and Robert Mitchum, and you look at guys like that. Now were they toxic? Was that toxic masculinity, or were those dudes just masculine?
It's a good question. At Brian_Connolly_ actually retweets something in a response to at Gillette with an image here of the Schick Hydro 5 cents. We might as well give a little love to Schick too. And again, we're telling the story, and if we said company XYZ and ABC, it wouldn't really make any sense. But the response is, looking forward to your Gillette Venus razor commercial asking every woman to rise above their innate, catty, manipulative bitchiness. Until then, time to try something new. And then they post the picture of the competing product. But I can't think of a more, I don't want to say in your face, but I can't think of a more blatant piece of advertising. And again, we're just playing the audio, and I haven't seen the video that accompanies this, and you haven't either. But we made clear that it's playing news sound bites, ostensibly news sound bites that mention sexual harassment and boys will be boys. And that's all well and good, but to do that to sell razors, I don't know what my word is. I've never seen this before.
I saw a tweet where someone said over 70% of boys are raised by single mothers. Over 70% of teachers in our country are women. And if that's the case, where's all this toxic masculinity coming from? And again, I think this has a lot to do with the fact that our current president is despised by so many people, and some of the things he has said in the past. They look at him and they see toxic masculinity. That's what they see. And because they hate him so much, they're saying that, well, this is what's hurting our country. And in my opinion, I think you can be, like we were saying, Brewster, I think you can be masculine without running around grabbing women and making fun of homosexuals. But it's an interesting argument, and it's got a lot of people talking. What else is interesting about this is that the New England Patriots, one of the final four football teams left this year, they play in Gillette Stadium. And that game, you need to be masculine, but I guess this is where they're trying to say, well, you don't need to be toxically masculine. You need to be masculine on the football field. But this is an interesting subject.
Well, and I think this is I think this opens the door for more companies to use their platforms, whatever they be, to sell products, to move those refrigerators, move those microwave ovens, move those razor blades.
But do you think they could get enough negative response to the ad where people it would do the opposite? Oh, I'm not gonna buy any product from Gillette if they're saying masculinity or toxic masculinity needs.
Well, if you go to YouTube and type in the words Gillette commercial, I see Gillette's new social injustice commercial is an insane strategy. I don't see any positive comments about it. Gillette takes on quote unquote toxic masculinity in propaganda ad campaign commercial.
And remember the word toxic. At the end of last year, we told you, I don't know if it was the word of the year, we were talking about it, I don't know which dictionary or whatever, but they said toxic or toxicity is the word of the year. And again, I thought that was directly related to Donald Trump being president of the United States of America.
Well, when you comment, you're commenting on the current, everything in its current time. So I want to see, I'm about lists, and I want to see what's next on the list. Which company is now going to, put themselves out there with a similar message or an opposite message? Who comes out and says that men aren't like that?
Well, look, when you're talking about huge companies, and Gillette is a huge company, they all have people in their organizations, their sole focus is advertising and how to advertise and what to say when they advertise. We're going to see if this pays off for Gillette or if it does the opposite. If the people that came up with this idea, this could end up hurting Gillette.
Right.
Again, I think we need to draw the line between masculinity and quote unquote toxic masculinity. I mean, are they just as Gillette going after? I don't think Gillette is going after just masculinity. That's why they use the word toxic.
Again, and I think that is where the line gets blurred between a legitimate message and Madison Avenue sizzle. That's being the media sponge that I am. That's what I find most fascinating about this. I really don't have. I stopped taking sides years ago. And as you know, I'm the founding member of the Just Leave Me Alone political party. So I just like to sit in my glass house and throw stones.
But there's no doubt politics is in the middle of this whole advertising campaign.
Right. And again, I can't remember something this out there, this blatant, I'm struggling for words.
Because I have friends from all over the political spectrum, and I'm looking on Facebook this morning, and mm-hmm. I looked last night, and my friends that are political lefties have no problem with this. My friends that are political righties have a big problem with this ad by Gillette.
Right.
So this is politics in the middle of the advertising world.
There you go.
All right. Let us know how you send us a tweet, Bayou957. Coming up, I got to get to this because a guy just died in the city of New Orleans, and I can't think of a worse way to die. I know that's subjective. Wait till you hear this. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I can't think of a worse way to die than being crushed to death in a dump. That happened. That happened yesterday here in New Orleans. A 52-year-old man died when he was struck by a tractor in a landfill. It happened in the afternoon. And it happened in the dump over there in Gentilly on Almanaster Avenue. They say it was an accident. This guy just happened to be working over there. And the next thing you know, he gets hit by a tractor, and the tractor buried him in a bunch of garbage at the dump. That's pretty sad. Thoughts are with him and his family today. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you what happened on a subway the other night that has people just saying, "What the hell is going on out there?" Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Once again, want to wish a very happy 40th birthday to Drew Brees. And I said this on Facebook. I said Drew Brees, along with Andrew Jackson and Louis Armstrong, are the three most important men in the history of the city of New Orleans. I mean, do you agree with that or not?
Well, more importantly, then, do you agree? Give us yours.
Yeah. I mean, please do. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're making a yes or no. We don't want yes or no. We want feedback. What are yours?
Yeah. What do you?
Of course, you're wrong because you're generally wrong.
Oh, get out of here.
No, come on.
I just want to move on from that last thing that we mentioned. The poor guy who died at the dump in Gentilly yesterday. I mean, they had to dig his body out of all of that garbage and trash. I mean, it was just awful. I hope it was quick and painless because I'm thinking to myself, you know, can you think of a worse way to go? Being found in the bottom of a dump.
All right, come on, move on, please.
There is a case that just went to trial in London, England. There's a case going on right now that just started in the courts. And it's about how three men filmed a late-night orgy on one of the London, England subway trains. It's known as the Tube.
So it's not London, Kentucky. It's London, England.
Yes, yes. This happened in London, England.
Gotcha.
A man and his boyfriend and a third man did an orgy on a late-night London, England subway train in front of other passengers. Would you call that toxic masculinity?
Just stop saying England. We've got it. It's London. We know where it is.
24-year-old Nicholas Mullen, 35-year-old George Mason. They engaged in an array of sex activities, which they filmed. They recorded as the subway, the Tube, was going around London. Prosecutors say another man was involved in the astonishing incident, which involved extensive sexual activity. But they don't know who the third man is yet. The two guys just showed up in court. They had to go deal with this trial. And I guess their justice system is a little bit different than our justice system. Because in England, these guys, Nicholas Mullen and George Mason, walked into the courtroom and they pleaded guilty to one count of outraging public decency. See, that wouldn't happen in this country. You know, if a couple of gay guys and a third gay guy were doing sex on a subway train or a bus or anywhere in public and they were recording it and they got caught, they would have either said, "Oh no, we're going to take this to trial. We're not guilty." Or they would say, "You know what? We'll never win in a trial. We'll just say we're guilty and the thing will never go to trial." In London, England, this goes to trial and these guys walk in there and they say, "That's right, we're guilty. We're guilty of one count of outraging public decency." Isn't that something?
Oh, it's something, all right.
This was going on and British Transport Police were contacted to a report of a video which had been posted online showing three men engaged in explicit sexual acts on a train. Quote, "It showed full sex, every type of sex you can imagine. And it was done in the presence of traveling members of the public." You know, I mean, and I've been on the Tube in London, England. It's pretty nice. But I don't think anybody wants to have to deal with seeing three dudes doing sex with each other while they're taking a train, whether it's nighttime or daytime or whenever. And what's interesting here, this incident was reported by a man who was also gay, but he thought that the video overstepped the mark of what was morally acceptable.
Yeah, exactly how much gay sex is acceptable on the Tube. That was his question.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a gay guy who's watching this gay sex on the Tube in England, and he ends up being the one that calls the cops and says, "This is too much," whew, that must have been some scene. So they'll be back in court, these two guys, in a couple of weeks for sentencing. I wonder how much time they're going to get in prison over there in England for not only doing gay sex on a train, but then video recording it, putting it on social media for everybody else to see. Brewster, I know this summer you're going over there. You're going to enjoy the Tube. You are going because
I'm not going to enjoy it that much.
Well, no, that's just a once in a lifetime.
Mm.
Well,
we'll see how it goes.
But compared to the subways that I have been in and on, like in New York City and other it's extremely organized. It's extremely neat and clean.
Right.
So I highly recommend that's the way. And that's for the shortest amount of money. That's the best way to get around.
I can tell you one thing. If I do, you know, Mrs. Brewster and I are going to London this summer. If we should go down that path, it'll have to be the high-speed train.
Mm. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So do you remember after Donald Trump became president, a lot many of the women that didn't like him, they had the big woman's march. Remember that all over, and many of the women wore vagina hats?
Yes.
Remember that? Well, they're planning this other big woman anti-Trump march. They're planning it, and it's supposed to come up pretty soon. But now people are saying it shouldn't happen because the leaders of this are anti-Semitic.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, yesterday they were on the television show The View, and Meghan McCain was battling with a couple of them saying, well, why should we follow you, you know, if you're an anti-Semite? The woman, the co-president of this thing, her name is Tamika Mallory, and there's no doubt she's an anti-Semite because she has said about Louis Farrakhan, who was an anti-Semite, she has said about Louis Farrakhan, he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
The greatest what of all time?
Maybe anti-Semite. I don't know. But what's interesting, when this thing first started after Trump became president, Tamika Mallory was one of the women who was at the forefront of this. And another woman who was at the forefront of this happened to be Jewish. And, you know, they were saying, yeah, you know, Trump's treatment of women is no good and blah, blah, blah. And Tamika Mallory said to the Jewish woman, well, look, before you go off on that, you know, you Jewish people, you got your own issues that you got to deal with. And so the Jewish woman left that group to go start some other organization.
Right.
So you've got this big women's march that's supposed to happen again, and it's being led by an anti-Semite.
And thankfully, I have a little bit of that audio from The View. Boy. In fact, I have a little bit more than I wanted.
That's anti-Semite Tamika Mallory, who is she's no friend of our Jewish friends. And she is she's leading this woman's march in America against Donald Trump. And boy, we had pretty much everything on the show today. Whether it was
not over, we're not leaving.
No.
We have another hour.
No, I'm sure we do, and there's more coming. But I'm saying whether it's toxic masculinity, whether it's a women's rights march headed by an anti-Semite, boy oh boy, we've got something for everybody.
Make it stop.
Fascinating audio from The View. This woman, Tamika Mallory, says she's not an anti-Semite, but anybody that calls Louis Farrakhan the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and she's done that on social media, she has some anti-Semitism issues. All right. Coming up next on the show, it's our commercial free ride, and I'm betting you, and we're going to talk about this coming up, good thing the Saints won their game on Sunday. Well, for Saints Nation, and we're going to be in the AFC Championship game. That's great. The NFC Championship game. Drew Brees had his 40th birthday party after the game. Would they have had that party if they lost? Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Led Zeppelin there. Zeppelin. I just put this story up on the our website, Bayou957.com. Police find four stolen Rolex watches in woman's vagina.
There goes my runner-up for the dumbest thing I read on all week on Friday.
Oh, you saw this? 29-year-old, and her name is Dela Juria Brookins, who has a kid and looks at her and says, she looks like a Dela Juria. It's incredible what people name their kids. Anyways, she went out with this businessman. This happened in Miami the other night. She went out with this Orlando, Florida businessman, Ramon Diaz. They went out to a popular club in Miami Beach. The couple later ended up at his hotel room. He went into the bathroom to freshen up. When he came out, he found
What man goes into a restroom to freshen up? Does it really say that?
They were at a club. He takes her back to his hotel room.
I got all that.
He goes into the bathroom.
Right.
He comes out. And he finds his Crown Royal whiskey bag containing five Rolex watches valued at $108,000 gone. Ramon Diaz caught Dela Juria Brookins getting into a taxi with his bag, the Crown Royal whiskey bag. And he demanded she give the Rolex watches back. She then beat him on the head with an unknown object and left. A hotel employee witnessed the incident, called police. Officers were able to find her behind a local store and arrested her. Inside the cruiser, she spit, stomped windows, banged her head, and bit officers. During the arrest, police found one of Diaz's stolen watches. They searched the area, and they couldn't find the other four Rolexes. After corrections officers searched her, they retrieved the other four Rolex watches from her vagina. She was charged with grand theft, resisting an officer with violence, battery, and possession of cocaine. And then she was also charged with criminal mischief when she urinated on the floor of her holding cell. Go to Bayou957.com to see that. Thanks for listening to our show. Ginty is next. Ginty! It's 2 for Tuesday. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.